DIMP Digital presents Idle Game Chat.
Cool!
Hello, Apps here from DIMP Digital. Welcome to another edition of Idle Game Chat. This is DIMP Digital's flagship video game podcast. We mostly give our impressions of the games that we've been playing lately. Sometimes lately, sometimes actually, we speak about the months after the fact. So don't always take that as complete gospel. As usual, this is a little intro segment to get us into the main impressions, which will be coming very, very shortly. However, we are on the brink of a bank holiday break. It'll be Easter break this coming weekend, for those of you that are listening to it on time, which means there will be no podcast next week or this coming week and into the Monday, which is when it drops on the free feed. So don't expect an episode then. We will be back the following week. And then I think as we get into May, it starts to get a little bit, there's a couple in May, at least one, and then we're off to August again. But, you know, look it up if you're not from the UK. If you are, you probably know all this anyway, but we do not do a podcast when there is a bank holiday. On this edition, I thought it would be good in this little intro phase just to give a quick summary of the Fantasy Gaming League, because there has been a number of games that have popped out in the last week or so, and we've got some nice stats to go through. So let's quickly do that. We've had Rise of the Ronin that's come out, Alone in the Dark that has come out, Princess Peach Showtime that has come out. All this is taking place in the championship showdown between Logan and Paper. Now, Logan has had Rise of the Ronin and Alone in the Dark. This is the remake of Alone in the Dark from, what was that, the 90s, was it? Long old time ago. Anyway, Rise of the Ronin, Sony published game, Team Ninja. I was expecting it to be like Neo and Neo 2. Sounds like it's not. It's more of a typical open world game. And look, that's been reflected in the scores. The scores are not as high as the Neo games. They're sort of high 80s, mid to high 80s. Rise of the Ronin coming in at 76. So as a Sony published game, not a first-party game, a second-party delivery list, that's probably on the low side. I can imagine, you know, you see that coming to your team. Normally, you get a tick in the box for mid-80s for Sony-published stuff, but Rise of the Ronin bucks that trend and comes in for 76, which is not a tragedy in its own right, but when you couple it with Alone in the Dark, which is sitting on a 63 as we speak, that is not a good 10 days or so for Logan. So he's got five games out. He's got an average of 81, so still no disgrace, and he's sitting on 406 points. Paper, on the other hand, he had Princess Peach Showtime, which is on a 76. Not great. Same as Rise of the Ronin, though, so he's not won or lost anything in that sort of head-to-head battle. And he also has five games out. He's got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Tekken 8, Persona 3 Reload, Princess Peach Showtime, and Mario vs. Donkey Kong. He's got an average of 85, sitting on 424 points. So there is an 18-point delta between the two competitors as they hit the halfway stage, both with five games out, both equal peg in there, both zero transfers, and Paper's got his nose in front of 18 points, which sounds a lot, but you think about it, it's five games left, it's what, a couple of points or less for the next five games, and Logan would take the lead and win by 2 points. So if, you know, say for argument's sake, Paper gets an 80, Logan gets an 82, that's what he's going to be tracking for. And obviously, the games will swing wildly between them. But what's left for Logan? Well, he's got Hades 2, which was courtesy of Parky and his team. That'll be in early access later this year, should it make this year. So it'll be interesting to see whether it gets a page or not, because Open Critic has been fairly inconsistent on that front. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, so that'll be coming. I think May is the release date, a little Xbox title there for Logan. Metaphor Reef Fantasio, now that's from the Persona team, or mostly from the Persona team. They've scored excellently in the past. And we'll be definitely keeping an eye on that to see if it arrives. Football Manager 2025, which is a standard sort of 80-odd pointer. And then Tales of Kenzaria Zayu, which again is another complete and utter curveball that he threw in there. So that's what Logan's got left. Paper's got Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, which we've not seen or heard anything about for many months now. Concerning that that's not been put as part of Xbox's roadmap just yet. We've seen the likes of Indiana Jones. We've seen, obviously, Hellblade, which we spoke about, and some other titles that they're going to be dropping. Flight Sim hasn't been mentioned in that gaggle, so it may be coming later. It may be having its own separate kind of showing. The fact that it's called Microsoft Flight Sim 2024 probably means they're likely to hit it, but you never know. It might become Flight Sim 2025, so that's, again, one to keep an eye on. Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, Black Myth, Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, and Braid Anniversary Edition, still MIA. So that's Paper's last four. And like I say, he's got an 18-point advantage in the showdown. In terms of who got stung, let's just call it what it is. Alone in the Dark was a stinger. That went into Adkins' team, which is not ideal for him. So he's got the 63 sitting on his team. I must say, with Alone in the Dark, there's a little bit of controversy because there's two pages up on OpenCritic. They've got Alone in the Dark and they've got Alone in the Dark 2024. Both seemingly the same game. Both seemingly the reviewing the same title. Just that for some reason, someone in the back end hasn't done that and they've decided to put two pages out. So at the moment, the 63 represents the page with the highest amount of reviews on there. And also it has the correct release date. I imagine they'll merge them together once someone figures that out, and it might bring the average up a little bit, because I think it's a 68 on the other page, which has only got 7 reviews compared to the 100 or so with the 63. But Adkins unfortunately stuck with that, so that's not going to do him any favours. Hall ends up with Princess Peach Showtime, lands himself a 76. That's his second game after Dragon's Dogma 2, which also came out in the last couple of weeks, sat on an 89. So not a terrible start from Hall. He also made a transfer. He transferred in Football Manager. No, F1 Manager 2024. So he'll be looking forward to that. He had a blank, so he didn't have to sub anything out, which is up to him. Salmon made a transfer. He got rid of Nightingale and transferred in Stellar Blade, which looks to be a timed exclusive for PlayStation, getting some controversy about how the character looks on that particular one. So it'll be interesting to see how the reviewers take to that. Will that be bought up? Will that bring the reviews down? Or will the game just not be very good? I mean, they accidentally released a demo of that not long ago and had to pull it off the PlayStation store. So who knows with that one. And then Biff ends up with Rise of the Ronin and a 76. He has now got 8 games out, average of 73, 587 game point score. So not a great average. If we look across the averages for everyone else, Adcock's on an 84, Salmon's on an 83, Adkins down to a 79, Hall on an 83, Parky on a 78. So he's a long way off Biff, and he's only got 2 games left to boost the numbers. One is Warhammer 40k Space Marine 2, which might be in a bit of a pickle because of the whole Embracer type thing that's been going on. And then Open Roads, which is due out very soon, I believe. So he will have a complete list, you'd think, unless something goes wrong with Warhammer 40k Space Marine 2. But that's a quick rundown of what has occurred in the month of March, it'll be. There's still a few days left, actually, so there might be another transfer and a few other games. I'll try and get these updates in sparingly as and when it seems appropriate. In terms of what we've got for the remainder of this episode, you're going to get treated to Metroid Prime Remastered. This was the Switch remaster that came out last year in 2023, scored insanely high with the critics. I think it's originally come out in the year 2000 or 2001. It's a very old game, but they updated the controls, they updated the graphics, obviously the control schemes completely changed, so it feels like a modern kind of twin stickish first person game. You know, you move the camera with the right stick, you move your character with the left, you strafe around, R2 to shoot, all that good stuff. So yeah, I give you my opinion on that. Spoiler alert, I wasn't overly impressed. It felt very old and archaic in certain aspects. It's not just for the backtracking, it's other things as well, particularly with the combat. But this is a gem of a game. It's one of the greatest of all time, some will tell you, but I just don't think it does hold up as well in 2024. Anyway, I'll shut up now. I'll pass over to Logan and myself as we close out with Metroid Prime Remastered. As usual, we'll see you on the other side.
Alright, she's Biff here. Quick report on Prince of Persia Lost Crown. Surprised how much I enjoyed it. Was really good. Combat was quite good. Traversal was quite good. Getting new moves. Reminded me a little... I mean, it's not really like how I played it on PS2, but I can sort of see the similarities. But it's obviously a different game, a side-scrolling sort of game. Was really enjoying it. But trying to get around the map, I just found so much aggro. And I decided to bin it. I reckon I was over halfway, but I just got so sick of just trying to find my way from one area to another. There is fast travel, but you have to get to a fast travel point, and they're a pain in the bollocks to try and get to. And the enemies, just as soon as you do anything, they just reappear or respawn, so then you've got to go all the way through the enemies again. I just found it quite difficult in the end, and just it become more of a wear than it was enjoyable. The combat didn't outweigh the, you know, getting from point A to point B, but it was quite good apart from that. But like I said, life's too short, so fuck it. Gave it a botched in and just binned it.
Here we are then, back with some game impressions to close out this edition of Idle Game Chat. Got apps here. Alongside the FGL... I assume you'll be the FGL champion still when this airs, but it could be many months down.
There's no guarantees line. At this level.
No guarantees it'll ever air either. Something might happen. Might get caught out. Adkins might finally finish the game like he said he was going to do about 8 months ago and never did. He bottled it and then... Yeah, we'll see what happens. But this is Metroid Prime Remastered. Mm-hmm. And in a shock move, Logan did not play through Metroid Prime Remastered. I can't believe this didn't get you to get your Switch out, if I'm honest. I thought you'd be all over this.
Scoring. Very little gets me to get that out these days.
Yeah, it's not easy. But this is a very... it's an important game. It was an important game, I should say, back in the day. And then we got a remastered version coming on the Switch in 2023. Got a 94 on OpenCritic. So, one of the best games reviewed that particular year. And I'd always wanted to play this. I tried originally to play it on GameCube. Just couldn't tolerate the game back then. It was, the controls were a bit old and all that sort of jazz. And I was playing on a... Actually, I was playing on the Wii. I was playing the GameCube version on the Wii. That's what I was up to. And it wasn't a good way to play it. So, when I heard that they're going to do Metroid Prime Remastered... First of all, I thought, where's 1 and 2? Sorry, 2 and 3 as well. They've just been cut from the trilogy, but whatever. Maybe they'll release them later on down the line. Maybe they're already out in a shock move again, dating things. But I was pleased. I thought this is an opportunity now to sort of correct a mistake in the past, something that got left half-finished, quarter-finished even. I don't even remember how far I got into it. And I picked this up with great anticipation, kind of a bit frightened because it is an old game, and I don't think people are correctly calling out what that means. 2002 this came out, and therefore it has potential to have some real hangovers from that period. Now, a remaster, you get the opportunity to clean that shit up, but did Metroid Prime Remastered? I guess we'll find out. I'll hand over to you. I've got a product overview page if you want to hear that, or you can just sort of go off
do
on
it.
That. Do that then.
Yeah.
Calm and capable, Samus takes on this solo mission, but she is far from alone. Step into her boots as you navigate the winding paths and interconnected environments of an alluring yet dangerous alien planet. Use powers like the signature morph ball and grapple beam to access hard-to-reach areas and find a path forward. With revamped graphics, sound, unlockable art, and updated control schemes, Samus's 3D debut has reached even greater heights. Use new dual-stick controls. innovative motion aiming, revert to classic controls, or opt for a hybrid option, whichever you prefer. Quite like that. It sort of gives you a real brief synopsis of what's going on, but then goes into what is potentially different. Mm. And yeah, trying to go back to the old controls, I feel like, I think it's one of those ones where you'd use the triggers to turn, like a, you know, an old, like a, what's the name? GoldenEye. GoldenEye was like that. And there's a lot of games like that. It's how it was kind of done. And then once the analog sticks come out, it replaced that need because you could move the camera with the right stick. Still took
Medal of Honor.
Well, they still did that as well, did it?
No, well, I think Medal of Honor were the ones that kind of pioneered it on the PS1 a little bit. And then Call of Duty refined it. And then it's been widely adopted in every other game since. But it's, I do remember playing games like that, and it was just weird. You'd sort of go like that, and you'd sort of have to turn at right angles. Made it really tricky.
Yeah, and so the control schemes were a bit of a godsend here because it does. Like it on the new, I just used the modernized controls. I didn't piss around with any hybrid nonsense, and they are slick. You know, they're very, very good. So the only thing I had problems with is this issue I've raised before, is that someone at Xbox and Nintendo, someone's got to say, like, I'm going to have A, B, X and Y, and you're going to have to find something else because, again, switching from this from an Xbox game caught me out several times. Mm. And Nintendo still often use, I can't remember what way around it is, but I think it's circle, or what we'd call circle or B or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
They use that to go forwards or backwards. It's the other way around to sort of what Western games have done. I think Sony used to do it, and have since all gone, well, no one's buying these consoles in Japan, so let's just go with what we need. But this, every time I brought that Switch, I'm, for the first number of hours, I'm flapping around trying to figure out how it all works. It just doesn't feel natural, annoying.
Yeah, it's it's an annoyance for me whenever, and it's another reason why I struggle to pick it up, is because it's just like, you can't just pick up and put it down, because you spend the first 2 hours, or the 2 hours that you've got, when you can pick up and put down, remembering buttons and getting annoyed with that. So, but that is not Metroid Prime's fault, is it? Really?
No, but, you know, I feel like they should be going to Nintendo saying, let's sort this out. Sort it out.
They're not solving it, but they're not adding to the issue.
No,
so.
Absolutely not.
Right, so do you want me to tell you what I think this game is?
Go on.
Nintendo's version of Halo.
if only, I'd say in some aspects. Because the weakest part of the game is the combat.
Straight into the weaknesses, let's do it.
Well, it has obviously, it's not really a combat-focused game. But there is a lot of it. So it's a puzzle game. It's a Metroidvania, whatever you want to call it. It's a Metroid game, I guess, is the correct way of saying it, because it's not got any vania in it. But you essentially end up on this barren planet. You lose all your powers, all this morph ball and grappling hook that they taught. You don't be getting that until you find the correct kind of upgrades. And it's interconnected. It's different zones that you can go to. Trying to get around the bloody place is a nightmare in itself. But essentially, it's a puzzle game in a 3D space, and you kind of use the powers and the weapons that you earn through exploration to get past a stage that you couldn't get to before, unlock a new area, get to a new item, whatever it might be. So that's the bread and butter of it. But they do kind of shit on you with a lot of enemies at times. And more combat than I think the game deserves, because it's just cack. Like, it really is just absolute diabolical shit, the combat in this. Like, it's so...
But they have not sorted that out then.
No, they haven't. It just isn't very good, and there's no other way to describe it. I can't put my finger on what it is. It's an old game, so I don't expect it to be good or great, but 100% in 2024 especially, a huge weakness of this is the combat is just an absolute stinker. They've got some good ideas on the boss fights, but they become tedious because, again, the controls and the accuracy that you don't have as a, you know, using the weapons that you're allowed to use just makes those a complete stinker. And it's what really tops it off at times is the manual saving. There's no auto save in this game, so it's all manually saved, and that can really bites you in the arsehole. Like, if
that,
you
like save points, or is that you just have to save it at certain points whenever you like?
No, you have to go to specific save points as well. So you will be trudging through new zones that you've not explored. I think the most progress I lost was 45 minutes.
That's a gut-wrencher, isn't it?
Yeah, I was fuming. And again, shit combat is what contributed to that. And then, yeah, the save point just compounded my absolute rage in that moment.
I was going to say, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. How fuming you were when that happened.
Yeah. So by saying you said it looks like Nintendo's Halo, I say, yeah, if only the combat was as good as what Halo was back then, because that really was a way to do it on a first-person level. Now, this wasn't the design of the game. This is it's out there doing other things that Halo simply didn't do. But that is it's a huge weakness, considering how much they lean on you and expect you to do in terms of combat. It's just,
I forget, it's not called Metroid, and there was no Metroidvania about it. Like, is it essentially a combat game then? Like, if you actually just step back from it, out of that genre,
it's one part platformer, 3D platformer. So you know you need to have your wits about you there, jumping from platform to platform, looking for ledges, etc. It's another part puzzle solving, and it is another part. It's sort of like they're blended together, but it's those three pillars. Because there's not really loads and loads of combat when you look at the grand scheme of the game, but there's enough for it to get in the way, and it will put you in situations where you have to fight. So it's not like one of these games where it's like, oh, I can avoid it or I can run away. Like, you're squishy, so running away is a real risk. So they sting you in the back. That's it. You'll be going down pretty quickly. But I think it'd be unfair to call it a combat game, because it does have, you spend so much time exploring
out of that
and doing other things. Yeah. It's just that it's a core component of it though, and it's very weak. So it stands out as an annoyance when you get asked these sort of questions.
Has that always been the way with it? Like, even back in 2000 and whatever, when you said it came out, was it 2002 you said?
Yeah.
That is old, isn't it? 22 years. Nearly.
Yeah. I mean, it's, so I've played Super Metroid, which was back in the, you know, it was the 90s that one was out. Recently, in the last three to five years. And that's a 2D game. Combat there is on a 2D plane. So actually, it's hard to get that wrong. Really, like, and it doesn't really get it wrong. It's like it's every, you know, 2D shoot you've ever played. The transition to 3D, obviously, it scuppered them slightly. But yeah, the older ones were 2D. This was the first 3D effort at it, so it's always going to come with some level of teething pains. But for whatever reason, people just seem to give this aspect a complete pass, because at the time it was no doubt doing something unbelievable with Metroid being transitioned to 3D. But in 2024 and 2023 when this come out, the fact that people can sit there and look you in the face and say yep and sign that off is
talk me through like, you know, I know you said you can't really exactly put your finger on it, but just give me an example of why it's so weak, I guess, or what makes it frustrating.
I think one, that you're so squishy.
Right.
And your health packs aren't really abundant. So you take damage and you're kind of stuck with it for a while until you find like a specific area or a little save point to recharge. I think really one of the main issues is that when your core weapon, which I think is called the plasma rifle, the plasma gun, fires like these plasma rounds essentially, but they're quite slow.
Yeah, for some reason, and by the way, I've never seen this game, but I thought bullet velocity might be a problem.
And you don't really get, because it's got this modernised controller, you can like move around and do all the stuff you can do in Call of Duty or whatever, but the game wants you to lock on. It's kind of hinged on a lock-on system. So you're constantly pressing left trigger to lock on the enemy and firing. And then once you're locked on, you can kind of use the right stick to sort of precision aim. But by the time you've precision aimed and fired, they're scrambling around. They're doing whatever. They're moving like they should do. They're always out of the way. And you're just constantly sort of going on both triggers, essentially, just hoping that they stay in your line of sight directly long enough that you can put them down. So bullet velocity is definitely one that got up my nose, and I don't know what the solution is to it. I don't think there really is, because I've played games where there's slower firing weapons, but I think because it's coupled with this weird lock-on system that kind of packs you into directly aiming at them, there's still quite a bit of room for error around them. And because they're scrambling around all over the place, like I said, they can dodge out the way quite easily. Mm. So I think that's what got up my nose, really. And then when you've got big like bosses coming in, you've got to get this weak point. The lock-on massively helps, but can still catch you out because you don't take a lot of damage. You get like things like missiles that you can upgrade that offer pack a bit more of a punch, but again, they take a little while to go off as well, so you can miss those. They only recharge when you hit like a little save point or a safe room, whatever you want to call it. So you have to be careful about using those unless you really kind of need to. You can pick up, I believe, bits of ammo do drop occasionally, but it's not a great deal. And you're just kind of left exposed a lot of the time, I found, and you haven't really got many tools to avoid fire other than running and dodging and trying to do that, but then you can't get on the offensive. So it's just not very good. I don't think it's aged very well at all. And maybe it is just those slow little... I don't think they're that slow, but they're slow enough that you fire and it doesn't hit them because they've moved already. And you're kind of
That's a big frustration of mine in first-person shooters. When you go to the effort of like pre-aiming and doing all sorts of different stuff, and then the bullets sort of like are bubbles. You know, like how a bubble moves in the air? And you go, well, why are we... like? How are you supposed to hit anything? I can't. There's a game that I played a little while ago that kind of did that, and I was like, "This is intolerable. How slow this is! It just looks weird as well." I mean, it's not like sluggish, but you just think if you shoot something, you want it to be like,
"Yeah." It's not. I think it's a charge bit. I think there's different variations you get throughout where you can charge up the rifle as well. You do get other types of weapons as well that are a bit quicker, but still, they're just not very accurate. It doesn't matter what you get given, they're always a bit of a struggle. Even if there's a beam or whatever it might be, you know, it just felt irritating to play on that level. And because you're under the pressure of, a diet, I've got to go and redo
45 minutes
in one case, then that's just an annoyance I didn't need and don't care for, if I'm honest.
Yeah. So essentially, that's just not aged very well there.
I don't think so. I don't think having manual saving, only is a good way to be doing it. I think there should be the option to. I think you'd have the option in most games to save wherever, but I get it in some aspects of like survival horror. But you've got to be fair and offer some auto saves in there now and again, just to give you. You don't want to just walk through environment. It's a lot again because there's not a lot of it. Not a majority of combat. You spend half the time walking back to where you got to. Because getting around this place is, whilst it's fun to sort of open it up and figure out the different routes, it takes fucking forever sometimes going up these lifts. The map doesn't really tell you which lift is going to which zones. You have to memorize that. And often they don't make sense based on where they're located. It's a real pain. So certain areas you can only get to by going through three other areas. And then you're kind of like, well, I've just got to get through this fucking lava land first, not die there. Then hopefully I'll get a shot at not dying in the combat part. I might be over-analysing the combat just because it's linked to this horrible progression that gets lost. But I had a bad experience and bad experiences throughout. So it just kind of, as it all comes together, it doesn't come together very well is what I'd say. Which is a shame because the other parts of it are decent.
So do you want to talk to those bits that you did enjoy then? I feel like we're crapped on it for about 5 minutes there. Well, deservedly so, but I'm just saying that it can't all have been bad.
Well, no, it wasn't. I mean, there's definitely... when you understand the puzzles, when you work out what to do, where to go, when you finally crack where the next item is, and it will help you with that. It will, if you're taking too long, it will bring up a little radar and say, oh, there's some activity in this area. So you're like, oh, I probably should go there. But it does a good job, I think, in a 3D space. Kind of the environments are nice and diverse, and working your way through them is not always great because it's littered with hazards. But the puzzle element of it, and I guess the progression of unlocking new abilities and new types of weapons and other bits and pieces that's quite thrilling, actually, just to go through that and understand that. You feel quite clever when you get it right, but it gets up its own arse, like I said. It just it has these issues. I mentioned the map being, it's garbage. Like it's not up to snuff. And trying to just navigate through this labyrinth. Yes, I understand it's supposed to be a little bit like that, but when I'm at the end of the game and I know where everything is, I'm like, I've just got to get over there. And it's like, fuck me, that's like a 10-minute trek just to get there. You know, I don't like these fast travels, but if you're going to make it that hard to get to one area over the other, it's going to make me think maybe I've been talking shit all my life. But it's got some issues. As much as I like the idea of it, and I think back in the day, in 2002, I can understand why it's the case. I can't for the life of me why in 2023 people are still clapping it in when a lot of the problems that I've described have been solved. And actually, this reinforced my view that 2D Metroid is better than 3D. And that's going to rattle people's cages, get airs up, get their fucking neck backs up, that will. But
the necks up. Yeah,
get their necks up.
Necking. I think there's always a balance when remasters are done. I think there's usually a balance when the remasters are done, especially something that old, to not lose the essence of the original game. Now, I fundamentally disagree with this, like, because I think we've spoke about this before on the podcast around various different games, but your brain lies to you around how you remember the game. Yeah. And you're experiencing it because you didn't know any better at the time.
Nope.
You didn't know all this stuff that you've got now could and does exist. So you kind of go back to do it thinking, oh, it's going to be this great thing. And then all the stuff that you've come to expect from a modern game isn't there. And you go, you notice all of that and you feel it. And I think it's a bit of a miss when they do some of this. Like, I think it's one thing. Like, I think I've seen some screen grabs of this, and I think they've done a good job in upping the graphical quality.
It looks really nice. It absolutely looks like it doesn't look out of place in 2023 and beyond. It absolutely looks beautiful. It runs super smooth as well. Didn't have any. Well, I had some bugs, but no like breaking bugs. Like, and what I mean by bugs is that I don't know that some enemies fell through the wall and disappeared and. I think they were standing on invisible platforms. I noticed that enemies can't go through certain doors, so actually one way to kill them is to run out the door, and then they're just sort of standing there going, and you can just pepper them with this slow beam.
An exploit, they call that.
Yeah. I was a bit surprised to see it, because I thought they would definitely follow me through, but they couldn't. But outside of that, which and the game never crashed, it never really dropped any frames, it didn't bug out, any quest bug outs or unlockables didn't not appear. Like, it all worked as it should have done. And yes, there were times when I sat there and thought, well, the game's broken because I don't know where to go. And it was clearly me. From that perspective, they've done an excellent job, actually. It's probably one of the better games. I think it's a good base to build off, though. They had a decent style to build off. And here it was just a case of shining it up. And they've done a really, really good job of that because the environments look great. The planet looks excellent. The enemies all look nice. Yeah. That Switch is what it is at the end of the day. And it's one of the better looking games that'll exist on that platform.
Yeah. I think that's fair. But not too much in the way of. I think it's just. I find it strange that games like this can get like a 94 as an average.
Well,
nowadays.
It's been given to fans. It's been given to people that have played it previously and played it several times in their life and then played this version and gone, yep.
Which is the best version of it they've played so far.
Yep. Understandable. But you give it to someone who has not got that baked in knowledge or that baked in experience. I think a lot of people pick this up and be like, Christ, this is tedious. This is very, very tedious at times. And not for whatever reason, understand why. You give it to the people that probably wanted to play it and whatnot. But to see that sitting on a 94 is a disgrace to humanity in some ways. Like, that's just way too excessive. Like, you've got to be able to pull your head out your arse and realise that we've come a long way since this garbage in areas.
It does annoy me that a game like this, where it's a remaster of a 21-year-old game,
yeah,
is getting ranked the same in the same at the same level as like a Baldur's Gate or
It's in the same league, isn't it? As those sort of
You know, God of Wars and Horizon, like all that stuff, like up there, like brilliant games at the forefront of this gen on the consoles and stuff. And then you've got something that doesn't have autosave and like various other things about it that's up there. And I'm not saying it can't be done, but it feels like you want to sort of go, come on.
Yeah.
It's because like, people have given that a 10 then, haven't they, to get that average.
More people have given it a 10, they've given it under a 9. So, yeah, that's concerning for these people. I mean, they should all be dragged over the coals. But again, I would be surprised if many people who picked this up today and haven't got that affinity for the original would say, would just tick this off as, just an all-round success because it's got issues, like absolutely, especially today. I mean, we're spoiled to some extent now, but we've also figured out how things should work and feel.
Yeah.
And this just doesn't feel good in certain aspects. And again, I go back to the exploration, trying to get from one side of the bloody map to the other, and that's just, ill thought out. That's not even a problem of the times. That's just a bad design choice. Like, that's not... You know, we figured that out in 2020. No, you figured that out in the 90s. There were good games back in those days that didn't have toilet navigation and, you know, bad design and mapping. It's not the slam dunk it's made out to be when you look at that meta score, that Open Critic score. And sometimes people just need to have a look at themselves in the mirror and actually realise what's going on. Wake up and smell the coffee that it's 2024 now.
Let me read you.
Pull thumbs out of us. I don't know if I can tolerate this, listening to this, but go on.
Because I need to do this just to get your response. So this is out of a review, right? I was just looking out for it to see what they're fucking spewing out. And it says, one thing that surprised me was that 20 years on, first-person shooters are still largely built around flat planes, straight corridors and ballooning arenas, but Metroid Prime does something different. The world is moulded and organic, with twisted tree roots, curvy mushrooms, and jagged ruins that interrupt deep pools. And that's fun, because a secret could be hidden anywhere, whether you're scanning the room with your visor for clues, trying different ammo types and odd-looking textures, or attempting to roll up an apparent slope perfectly crafted for morph ball tricks. You have to actually feel your way around Prime. It's the most tactile game I've ever played out of VR.
Yeah, that's a shame for whoever that is, isn't it? If that's setting the bar.
Genuinely, I just had to check that this was the right game that we were talking about. It's interesting, isn't it? It's just, it says here, Metroid Prime has been one of my, this is the verdict, Metroid Prime has been one of my favourite games for decades, but I'm still shocked.
Stop. At that point, you might as well just eviscerate the whole review and say, there's no point. What are you adding to the conversation other than, oh, I've loved this for decades, my favourite game, and it's still brilliant?
Yeah.
Fuck
but
me.
It says, I'm still shocked that its bones are so strong. 21 years later, in 2023, Metroid Prime Remasters had to do so little beyond modernising the controls and updating the graphics to become one of the best games you can buy once again.
No.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the nonsense that people tie themselves up in with nostalgia. I'm sure this game's not got it.
You're wrong, by the way. I'm not doing this to sort of say what you're saying is wrong.
No, I'm never wrong. I know that.
I just find it interesting how, like, despite what you've said there around, you know, and I'm sure if I picked it up as a, you know, I enjoy shooters, I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
I mean, almost worthwhile me just buying this for you and putting you through the misery for 3 hours just to see. if they offered a refund after 2 hours, I would absolutely do that. Just say, look,
how can you class it as the most tactile game I've ever played outside of VR? I find that astonishing.
Yeah, I mean,
and they gave it a 10 and called it a masterpiece. Metroid Prime Remastered honors a lauded classic and brings it up to code, fixing outdated controls and adding a stick coat of polygons and textures that make this masterpiece of a shooter. See, look, they call it a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, again,
masterpiece of a shooter shine once more.
No, they can't even get the shooting right. So, I mean, look, I will say I've got a huge amount of respect for the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand it's a product of its time, so therefore crapping on it is somewhat a good pastime of mine, but also it's somewhat unfair. But I'm just being real that this, if you're coming into this for the first time and expecting it to be anything like you've played in terms of convenience or just natural feeling, you're going to have to relearn stuff, like and work around the game, because it's a product of its time still. Most of the design holds up, like I said. You know, it is fun to peel this onion away and explore more of the planet and upgrade your web. That is a good or a great part of the game. But it definitely still has issues when you're trying to move around, like I said, and, you know, the old archaic just core mechanics of the shooting will catch people out. So if you don't have the affinity for it, I don't think you're going to have the 94 fun experience time that's being touted. And that's all I'd say. If you've coming into this fresh, especially if you weren't around back in the day playing this old dross, because, you know, I remember playing some right old crap in the 90s and then leading into this, then you're going to have an even worse time than I did. But if you've played it and it's one of your favourite games ever, well, I can't see why you wouldn't give it a 10, really, from that perspective. But look, it's a product of its time. It does a lot of things well. It does some great things well. But it also has some issues that are purely down to a bit of age and some bad design. I don't think that's necessarily unfair to say. Nor would I say steer away from this completely. I think that actually, if you've not played it, it will be a good experiment to run through, because you don't really get games like these today. Mm. You don't get 3D games like this. There's a reason why Metroid Prime 4 is about 8 years into development and hasn't come out yet, because they're fiddling around with it, trying to suss it out again. So it's a bit of a time capsule job here. They've done what they can with the controls, done about as best they could with that, but the way the game's set up wasn't designed for that in the first place, so you're always going to be fighting this weird, loose-feeling combat where locking onto the enemies is vital, and then it's potluck whether they've moved by the time you've got there, or you've charged your weapon, or your wave beam's got there, whatever it might be. It just becomes a struggle, and then, yeah, the auto-saving not being there, the manual saving in certain areas will, if you get in a bad spot, compound the misery. And I could see people just getting frustrated and, again, eventually walking away with it. But, you know, I'm not going to turn back the clock and say, oh, that doesn't deserve to have existed. But it really wasn't something that I'm trying not to overcorrect, because there's a part of me that says 94 is so bad that I should just completely drag it down. But it's not. As usual, it's somewhere in the middle, where it's pretty good mostly, but just has some real annoyances. And when you see all the smoke blasted up its ass, it's difficult not just to want to really pull it down and stamp on it. But I've probably done that enough anyway. So those that love the game sitting there absolutely fuming. But, you know, I'd probably say the same about Metal Gear Solid maybe. And people play it today and go, what are you talking about? And I go, yeah, I know. But it was, I know how to work around that game, because I know it inside out. It's what you don't realise. When you get so familiar with a game, particularly an old one, you work around the issues that it has and just think, oh, everyone can do that. Well, you don't realise in 2024 it doesn't make any sense for it to feel like that. But you've already learnt it, so it doesn't matter to you. Nonsense.
So, I guess, is there anything else that you want to mention about this game? Or we move on?
I don't think so. I mean, look, I've crapped on it a lot. There's a lot of things to like about it. And I said, if you're content with putting up some nonsense, it's probably worth a playthrough if you've not played it, just to experience what it was like, a bit of a history lesson for yourself. But don't come walking in here and tell me that it's still 10 out of 10, all this nonsense, because I can't stand by that. But by the other token, it's perfectly fine. There is some really high moments in it. Just, I think it's one of those games. It suffers with its age slightly, and there's only so much you can do. And it's about as best a job I think they can do without completely rebuilding it and changing how some of the mechanics work. But then you'd have the purists up your arse saying, it's not the Metroid Prime that I grew up with. I go, good, thank God.
Did you pick this up because it was a 94 game?
No, it's because I tried to play it back in the day and flaked out on it, and it was annoying me. Yeah. Not, I didn't wake up every day thinking about Metroid Prime, but you know, it's one of those things that when I saw an opportunity to play it modernized, I was like, well, the controls, now the excuses are gone. It's on a platform I've got. The controls are as slick as it's going to get. Let's go into this. And I wanted to, because I thought, oh, maybe I'll play 2 and 3 and then get ready for 4. What I will say is, based on this, if they release 2 and 3 again and remaster it before 4, I doubt I'll play them. I'll probably just watch a walkthrough and then just play 4 and hope they've sussed out where they've got it wrong in the past, sort of 20 years ago. Because it hasn't sold me on this 3D Metroid being the way forward, simply because just the combat really didn't vibe with me. And if you're going to make that a core component of the game, one of the pillars, it's difficult to get over that. So that's that. It's cost them, really.
It's a shame. I didn't expect you to largely crap on a 94 rated game, but here we are.
People need their heads examined. It's like when Adkins was talking about Resident Evil 4, the original, and he said, the way I'm talking about it is though it was remembering back in those times what games are like. And I was like, what are you doing? You can't even remember what happened last week. There's no way you can accurately determine that the game was what it was.
The brain lies to you. Yes, it does. 100%.
Maybe the brain's lied to me and fested all these bad feelings about Metroid Prime when actually it wasn't that bad. But I'm still scarred by specific examples that I won't go into, but I was so glad it was over at one point. I was so happy. I was like, that's made me really happy just getting that off my plate.
Cut it there. I'm so glad it's over. Gaffy odd.
Yes.
2024.
But I get that with a lot of games where it's tough. When you get to like tough bits, it's just a sense of release.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think there are some games, and this is hard. Like, old games were harder as well, whether we like that or not. Like, they were fucking unforgiving at times.
Yep.
Don't think I ever completed Golden Axe.
No.
I don't think anyone ever has. Like, they are fucking hard. I think it's interesting that you, like, it's like this bug that's been eating away at you, like a little bug that you had to go back and sort out, though. You're like, I couldn't do it back in the day, so I've been waiting for a remaster, and here it is. And now you're sitting here and you're going, I'm glad it's over.
I generally do like going back and playing like games that I've missed that have been modernized slightly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they're always going to be super enjoyable as they were in 2002.
No.
Because I've played hundreds of games since then. Mm. So with all that baked in kind of experience, it just, the bars, the expectations and the bars of how things should just generally feel and react are different. Doesn't mean different can't be good, but in some aspects, it just shows its age sometimes. And
it's the reason some things have stuck and have been added in every game.
Yeah.
And have become part of the default makeup of games, is because of that inherently makes them better.
Yeah.
And more enjoyable to play. And I think, you know, I like to think that a lot of this fucking hardness has been pulled out of games because it doesn't make them fucking enjoyable. Like, it shouldn't have to be. Like, there's some games that are naturally hard, right? Yep. And that forms part of it. But they balance that off with, like, other elements and simplicity. Like, if you take Super Meat Boy, fucking hard.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different sort of hard. I hate hard combat games or, like, unnecessary. Like, all that sort of stuff just pisses me off, but...
I think one of the things to say is I don't know if this game's hard. It's just clunky, which makes it harder than it needs to be. And I think that's the point. The strength of the game for me isn't fighting the enemies, and that's never the draw of this game. The draw of the game is the exploration and puzzling and figuring things out and thinking on your feet about how to solve, you know, get to solutions in 3D spaces. That's why people love the game. That's what they focus on usually when they speak about it. But for some reason, there's a significant percentage of the game that is reliant on this combat, feeling like we've got to put that in. And it just doesn't resonate in the year 2024, the way it kind of feels and whatnot. So I think that's the other thing to draw on. The other two pillars of it, like the exploration and the puzzling, is very good. It's just they've got this sort of other part that's tarnishing the whole lot, unfortunately. But
one third bringing the other two thirds down.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. But, you know, that happens sometimes. No game is completely well-rounded and perfect.
Yeah. So how do you want to play this? Because we talked about removing the bin. The bin, as far as I'm aware, is still there. We always go into the gallery now. That's a thing. So as far as I'm concerned, we'll go in and ask the standard question of where does it go? Does it get in the gallery, your personal exhibition? Does it get on the wall? Does it go in the bin? Where are we chucking it?
Metroid Prime Remastered is going to go as a bronze. It's pulled it out of the fire, almost. That's purely out of respect, really, of the other two components that I mentioned.
I did wonder what you might do with this, because I was like, you fucking crapped on it and you're relieved it was done. But there must have been elements in it that redeemed it, despite the drag factor of the combat. And there
absolutely is. It's like that morph ball is just inherently fun to roll around in, and doing puzzles based on that is good fun. All the different weapon types, seeing them from translate from 2D to 3D is really fun as well. And they've pretty much nailed all that. Like, if you think, that's how that should work, and it does work like that in a 3D space. And just pottering around, trying to scratch around in that brain of yours, trying to suss things out, and then getting to the solution. There is a charm to that. It's just that the combat moments kind of drag it down. And really, the combat moments are the moments also of where you're going to lose progress. So that makes that whole element of it just an annoyance rather than an enhancement. But I guess if you strip that out and you can just get away with, you get through it. I mean, it's not unbelievably hard. It's just frustrating. So once you kind of get a bit lucky or figure it out or get through to the next zone, you're kind of off to the races. And like you said, you get like the grappling hook, all that stuff unlocks all these new areas. That's all brilliant to do in 3D, but it is just sort of held back by that component and a few of the other bits and pieces I mentioned earlier when it's around traversing the planet itself. But I'm interested to see how Metroid Prime 4 fares, simply because I feel like you can't release the game feeling like this again. It'll have to feel much more modern. So if it does feel like even Halo from when that came out, 2001 was that? I can't remember when Halo was. It was back in the day.
Yeah.
That would alleviate, I think, a lot of the issues. And if they can retain the same level of exploration and onion peeling and power upgrades and whatnot, it could be really, really good. And one that you can actually say that's probably not going to age terribly because it's using modernized standards from the ground up, rather than superficially adding the control scheme on top when actually the game doesn't function like a first person shooter would today. So I'm intrigued by 4, but it just means I won't play 2 and 3 as a catch up. I'll be just watching through them to get the lore that's required. Oh, I should mention also, scanning things is a big part of the game. Like, you use your scanner to, you know, see like doors and whatnot. And that's relatively fun for a little while, but that starts to show its ass eventually as well. It becomes an annoyance trying to scan everything, figuring out what they are. But for those that like scanning things and then reading the entries, there's a million things to scan in this. So if you're one of those little collectors that likes to fill up your little book with all the creatures and whatnot, that can be part of the game for you. So should mention that. But yeah, bronze for Metroid Prime Remastered.
There you go.
Frightened him off. I frightened myself off. That'll be Idle Game Chat for this particular edition. I said we'll be back very shortly on your favourite podcast app, YouTube, patreon.com/dimpdigital, all the good stuff. But nothing more for us to say other than thanks for your time and ta-da.
Oh, Dim.
This was a Dimp Digital production.